Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. The self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment. What does self-hate say you are missing? RL, what you see.
I just love that question. if we learn to ask that question of what's going on in our head most of the time, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. We would be just light years ahead in the ending suffering game.
Yes, we would. Mm-hmm. All right. There's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Karen from Chico.
Hello, Karen. What are you seeing?
Well, let's see. Lots of things. Just this morning I was seeing, I was talking to a family member and I was noticing during the call that the condition messages, you know, not enough, not a good enough grandmother, you know, somehow I'm supposed to find a way to be doing big projects and being a really fun grandma with the kids during the pandemic. Just ridiculous.
Well, Karen,
stuff.
Karen, let me just ask you this. If you were the right person, wouldn't everybody's suffering end? I mean, not just your grandkids, your kids, friends, everybody you know. If you were the right person, their lives would be perfect. Is that kind of the message?
Yeah. Talk about cutting to the chase. Yeah. It is ridiculous. And on a deeper level, before the phone call, which was just a few minutes ago, and I've been looking at this, I have been asking, well, what if I'm enough? Because it's always I'm supposed to be doing more. I'm supposed to be contributing more. I'm supposed to be doing it better. Doing things that I don't know even what they are, but if I knew, then I could be doing them. So it's just like on and on and on, and to just really, you know, and then to ask the question, enough for what? It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there is no answer to that. It's except for what you said. Maybe all the suffering in the world would be And then
or that essential question, what does that even mean? What are we talking about here? And of course, what we get when we ask those questions is silence, because there is no answer to that. So you have kids, you have grandkids. So, you know, with little kids, it's, what do they call you? Well, mom, let's go with mom, because that, mom. Now, do they really want something? Yeah, they want mom's attention.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You know, if we get confused about the content, then we'll just make ourselves crazy, because all they want is attention. And as in a very sweet and innocent and I'm going to survive here sort of a way, right? With ego, because ego has taken that on, right? And basically it's saying, Karen, only the message that you've seen is, Karen, do. And there doesn't need to be any into that sentence, right? Because that's the whole, it wants your attention.
Yeah, it really does. And I was actually doing a two-handed recording about that because I'm changing focus at home a little bit here. And I put the sewing machine away, not permanently, but it's put away and the dining room table is cleaned off. And, you know, and I'm just, I need to focus on a few other things in my life than sewing. And And I did a two-handed recording about it because, you know, it's like, no, I'm supposed to be doing this other thing. And
that's right. You have to do it. But not only do you have to do that other thing, right, in an obsessive kind of, you need to be at that sewing machine 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But what are you doing about the yard? What are you doing about the house? What are you doing about the grandkids? What are you doing about your mother? What are you doing about the dog? What are you doing, right? So it just, if it can, it'll just get us running around in crazy circles because we're trained to believe that what it's saying is true.
Yeah. Well, it was fun because in the two-handed recording, the mentor said, let's just spend the day together. Now, I'm not sure what that's going to look like, but it sounds really relaxing.
You don't have to know.
Yeah.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be a doing.
No, it sure doesn't. So
it can be a being.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you
have
so
fun,
much.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You are so welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. Well, that's it in a nutshell, right, Sherry? It wants our attention, and that's all it wants. And it's going to tell us what's compelling, and the result is that we'll be driven rather than being here and having a good life. Whatever that is, including whatever it is that we do end up doing, but at least we enjoy it.
Yes, exactly, because it doesn't mean we're going to sit on the couch, that we're going to become awful, more egocentric people than we are already. It's just that we're going to actually get to enjoy the life we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be here for it.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary from Mount Vernon.
Well, hello, Mary. What are you seeing?
Hello. Well, I loved that last phone call, and I was nervous about putting myself in the queue, and I was just going, oh, this is a great phone call. Anyway, what I've been seeing, I've been focusing on kind of my focus on my negative focus in the world. That's kind of this session.
Mary, let's clean that up, okay? Ego's negative focus in the world. Which Mary is being dragged along into.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. That's good. And so yesterday something happened, and my response was I was really irritated by what this was that happened. And then I recorded and listened about it and was going, whoa, you are assuming a negative thing about this. And I was making judgments. And so
well,
this
again, I have to, it's just, I have to. So what happened is we're trained to react, right? When ego pushes on that button, you're trained to react. And so then you identify with ego, you go along with its program, right? And then what happened is, you recorded and listened, and you had a moment of clarity. Wait a minute, that's just a negative reaction. Then ego hops on board with that to take ownership of it. Yeah, Mary, that's what you're doing. If it had the chance, you are so negative. You are such a negative person, trying to get you to own what it's doing.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, and so this is going to continue down that road of ego taking over. So what I figured was that I'm missing is my ability to function and to operate without judgment, whether it's negative or positive. That
Without ego. That's the possibility that we're getting to. Because one of the things that ego will do to us is confuse discrimination and judgment. Okay, so discrimination is incredibly important to us, right? My favorite way of talking about it is, if you want to leave the house, you better know which one's the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you let ego get into, I hate that door. God, that's an ugly door. Why did you ever buy that door? What is the matter with you? That's judgment. So learning to sense which is coming from presence, from the heart, and which is coming from ego is really important. But what ego would like to do is take you down a track of, you are a judgmental person, Mary, and we need to fix you.
Yes.
And we don't want to do that because there's nothing wrong with Mary.
But how do I get, I'm trying to figure out how I get out of that.
Yeah, don't try to figure it out. That's the first one, because that's the trap. You're going now, because where are you going to look to figure it out? Ego. You don't want to do that, right? And so what you do is just watch. You just watch. And the thing I would encourage you to bring to this little party is, when it's negative, it's ego. You don't need to take any of that on. We're all brainwashed, okay? We're all brainwashed to identify with ego. So when it's negative, you just go, oh, okay, there's ego. When your heart kind of leaps up and you feel happy, you go, oh, okay, that's presence. There's the authentic Mary. Okay? All right, now you work on that one, and then you let me know, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Oh, I forgot to tell Mary. That'll be enough. There, she heard it.
I think she heard you.
All right, good.
Well, and that is truly what the conditioning does is, if I just watch, it's not going to change, because in order for it to be enough, I have to do something about it.
That's it. There's the circle, huh?
Yeah.
The vicious circle.
Yeah. And that to watch how the mental patterns erode because we're attending from awareness is marvelous to experience, but we really have to experience it in order for us to know that that's the only way the thought pattern loses solidity, right?
Yes, because we're looking from a different place.
Yeah, we're looking
from a different place.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me? This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Jen. What are you seeing?
Hey, yay. So much. And the enough and the doing, you know, how that theme of doing has come up so much with this. I just kind of wanted to check out. I had this experience with the workshop a few weekends back where part of what one of the activities that we did was, or we didn't do, we were being for a period of time, you know, just to sit and be in a spot. And it was so, I watched,
for
you know,
12
just all
agonizing
the,
minutes.
For 12 agonizing minutes. Yeah, I wasn't sure how much I could say, but yes, for 12 minutes. Right. And it really was that for ego, for sure. I was watching the like, you know, just dying to do anything, right? Or even it was so funny, it came in like, I really should meditate because, I mean, probably, you know, it's not good to just be here, you know, with whatever the mind could do, you know, says ego to me, like suddenly now meditation is like, I better do that. You know, it was amazing. And then what I don't know, it just was so interesting that then later on I was teaching a class actually over Zoom. And in the I had led people to the Shavasana. So there's this interesting way where I'm kind of being, right? You know, like there's not really an active doing it very much. It feels like just wanting to be present for the folks who are there over the Zoom and all of that. And this poem dropped in, just these four beautiful lines. And I just knew that it was from that time, those agonizing 12 minutes of being, you know, it just was like, it was right there. And so I don't know, you know, so then of course, ego wants to make a whole thing, right?
So Shavasana, what you want for people is for them to be.
Yes. Yes.
They don't need to work at integrating the practice.
Right.
Right? There's nothing
exactly.
to do. And so you wanting to be there for them is a doing rather than a being.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
That's how subtle we get with this, right? And so if
yeah.
you want them
yeah.
to be the best way to communicate that is for you to be.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the case no matter what's going on, right? You're teaching the crow. you still want to be. If you get
yeah.
into doing, then ego has taken it over. And
yeah.
then there are the standards and how you have to perform, and are they successful, and if they're not, what's the matter with what you're doing, and you should do something different.
Yeah. It's so just amazing to see all
yes.
of it. There's just so much around this, like the receiving and the being and the doing and all those connections and all those subtleties. And yeah, it's a really, really fascinating place.
Oh, it really is. And I'll tell you, Jen, we know we're in trouble when ego says, maybe you should meditate.
Right. When I heard that, I really was laughing. I was like, wow. yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
And the good news,
it's
of
desperate.
Course, is you were there for it. Right. And you can see
yeah.
how desperate it is. Because on a normal day, it would do anything to keep you from meditating. Anything
right.
to keep you from paying attention. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's fabulous.
Oh. Exactly.
That's
so fun.
Very good.
So, yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Thanks,
to
Jen.
Watch it all and hear all of this. Thank you.
yeah. Yeah. Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. I think it's going to
you
be
know,
such a... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, it's such a fascinating exploration of being able... of movement coming from being rather than from ego. Because it's such an interesting
yes.
place.
Yes. Well, and I was just going to comment on what Jen just said, that when we start seeing how all of that goes together,
mm-hmm.
that's when it really gets fascinating,
mm-hmm.
right? The relationship between not being enough and doing and being controlled by ego to do rather than to be. Why does the ego so not want us to be that it would suggest that we meditate? Well, because when we just are, it's not able to do what it does to control us. So seeing how these all go together is really illuminating.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the liberation that we were talking about with Mary, because there's no way you can stop that structure from executing.
That's
because
right.
That would be the kind of doing you would do from within the structure. So the
That's
only
right.
exit is to watch the structure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. And so I have the image of the runaway train, right? Try to get in front of it and stop it. Try to do something about it. It's not going to go well. So what then? What is your choice? Well, you just turn around and walk the other way, knowing
yeah.
it's going to go however it goes. And you don't need to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a wreck? Yeah, but let it be ego's wreck, not yours.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. How fun. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hey,
what
Sherry.
Are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing the whole thing about not being enough is there's an orientation that then... if I get in a situation where I feel inadequate, there's a turning to something, you know, like a prayer or whatever. Oh, please, I, you know, help me.
Make me adequate just now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I saw in that was a pattern of turning to life, like it would be like, only calling your best friend when you were in trouble. and never calling your best friend. Yeah, to hang out and just have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. To say thank you for all of the gifts and all of the all that's being received and
yeah.
To just be with in appreciation and delight.
Yes, there's a partnership there, and where it dropped in was the workshop on Saturday when we recorded about something that we get told we don't like doing. And my best friend said, let's record about when we doing something we love doing. And oh my God, I don't have any way to describe it other than a religious experience. What I get told is fun. It's even limited my fun.
Right. Oh, right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what fun is. I know what that means. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know how much I can have.
Yeah. And you don't need to call life to help keep you company now because you're having fun.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like ego has no idea what fun is.
No, none whatsoever. Yeah. It can't have fun. It doesn't have fun. And so what just dropped in when you were describing that is the next time that inadequacy thing comes up, to be able to turn to life and say, I'm really adequate, aren't I?
Yeah.
Am I adequate?
Yeah.
Am I adequate to this? And the mentor life, what the intelligence is going to say, of course.
Oh, that's brilliant. Cool. Yeah. 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 Oh.
Because again, you're going to be looking to the place you want to be instead of looking to where you don't want to be, trying to have that take you to where you want to be.
Yes. Yes. And you know, right now, this is that experience, right? Because I get told, you know, you're having this experience, but you're not adequate to sharing it. But this right now, this is way more fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Way more.
Way more. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. So fun.
Thanks, Carolyn. I just so appreciate that we want to train to receive all of life all the time, right? And recognize those places where we're not allowed to receive life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's ego feel. It's so selective. And that's how it controls and limits.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have sympathy and compassion, loving kindness for the human being, because we're so brainwashed to believe it that we can't even see that it's a thing.
Yeah.
We can't even, it's just reality. We can't see that it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why we have to keep practicing.
Mm-hmm. Expanding the awareness. Assisting ourselves to come up against structures that would reveal what we have not seen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's always going to be good.
Good.
That we can know.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have time for one more caller, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller, you're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow.
Ooh.
I did not expect to get on.
It's painful. Who is this?
Hi. This is Debbie from Minnesota.
Debbie.
For the first half of the call, I was on my daughter's violin recital, and I just joined in, so I'm thrilled because I'm always on early, and I never get chosen out of the queue, so it's shocking. So
what are you seeing?
Because of that, what I'm seeing, I can speak to more generally. I can't remember what the prompt was because I came in late.
Enough.
I think it has to do with enough.
That's it.
So, yeah, I think for me, if I prepare enough, if I get it just right enough, then I can receive. And so that supports the conditioning that gets in the way of receiving. So
The message, of course, is not quite, Debbie. Close.
Right.
So you keep trying, but not quite. Didn't quite make it.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. All about right. So it's stultifying.
It's awful because because what we finally get to see is it's never going to be enough. You're never going to be good enough, smart enough, cute enough, rich enough, thin enough, whatever. You're never,
get it right enough.
Well, and when I just lay that out like that, we can see how many areas it's got to pick from. So maybe you did just right in getting to your daughter's violin recital, and you were right there, and that was just perfect. Yeah, but you didn't. So then it just shifts the focus slightly to the thing that it can say, yeah, but you weren't really relaxed, and away we go. It just sucks the energy out, and there we are, another failure.
Yep. And then it sort of hamstrings me or handcuffs me so that I feel not free enough to move with life.
Precisely, because what if you make a mistake? Yeah. What if you don't get it right?
Yeah.
And so that really is our way out of the handcuffs, is to realize, wait a minute, it's never going to be right by your standards. Never, ego. You are never going to say you got it right. Now enjoy your life. It's never going to say that. And so once we get that, Then we can start focusing on something else.
Right. I can't even imagine what that would be. I have no idea.
Well, fun, enjoyment,
whatever comes up,
gratitude.
Right. Exactly.
It's more specific than that, though, because it's not about doing, performing, outcome. It's actually not about you. It's about life. It's about what's beautiful and what we're thankful for, and that we literally move into an entirely different orientation to life.
This is why I got the daughter I have. I feel that's what comes to mind for me. You know, who's all about fun. There's just has shares none of this orientation with me. Never has.
Good.
Never has.
Good.
Yeah.
May she never.
May she never.
And may you use her as your role model and jump on board that train.
Right. And my mother, who used to say to me, when will you have taken enough courses? when is it enough? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Well, I don't know if we have time for this, but there was a great cartoon that was part of our practice for a really long time. And I'll give you because you just laid it out. So there is this woman in the cartoon talking about her daughter, right? And she said, my mother was always, So with my daughter, I've been, But my mother was always such and such, and so with my daughter, I've always been, right? And so the exact opposite of how my mother was with me, now my work is done, my daughter has grown, the exact replica of my mother.
The daughter is just like the grandmother. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. Which is what you just described.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are the enjoy life sandwich, right? And
that's
so
true.
On
that's
both.
That's exactly my cup.
Yeah. 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 So give up, Debbie. Give up.
Right.
Roll just acknowledge that they're. Yeah, just acknowledge.
Yeah, my cultural capital is not valued in this family's dynamic. It's just not relevant.
That's right.
Not relevant.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, so just dump it, right?
So
just dump it.
Ego has no chance. So ego has no chance. I will. I am.
Yeah. Yeah, just throw it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very good,
I'll take it. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome, okay. Debbie. Go happy,
bye-bye.
Okay?
You too.
Bye.
Go happy. Bye-bye. Thank
right.
you, Ashley.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Here is our assignment. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I'm told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be, to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment. Make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to the recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation.
Lovely. And if anybody struggles with that and runs into voices that say, yeah, but not you, we can always fall back on projection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. So Debbie can project onto her mother and her daughter and know exactly what that what the love of authentic nature is.
Yes, and then not to stop from following the projection back.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Who's projecting? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all that's right. Great. Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks,
go
everybody.
Happy.
Go happy.